सहनावतु
सहनावतु
सहनो भुनक्तु
सहनो भुनक्तु
सह वीर्यं करवावहै
सह वीर्यं करवावहै
तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै
तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै
ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः Namo Namaha. Good afternoon, good evening all. To the Ask Me a Question series, as I mentioned, children are very inquisitive by birth, but as they are growing, as they are not getting the answers from their elders or from the community, they stop asking the question and they take an approach, whatever. Whoever says whatever, and creativity is lost. The creativity dies down, and when the creativity is lost, there is no joy in life. Long face. We must aspire to become a lifetime student. As long as we live, inquisitiveness should be there. I want to know. I want to know. When that is there, there is no boredom, no dullness in life. Even adults, many people, the most of the parents also, they are disconnected from the roots and the scriptures. It is an opportunity for the parents also to get the answer. When you get the answer, you will be wonderstruck. How great is our tradition, how great is our philosophy, and that makes you to go towards the root of the philosophy to draw more inspiration into your life. Material wealth, however well paid you are, that it won't give you a lasting happiness. Happiness lies in connecting to your within, inner being. To go within, you need the inspiration. When you know the answers, you want to find out more. Find out more. That is all about Upanishad. This Ask Me a Question, this is also a Upanishad. Upanishad means a discussion between the teacher and the taught. The Upanishad, the Bhagavad Gita is an Upanishad. Discussion between Guru Krishna and the keen student Arjuna. Between the discussion, when their discussion is there, teacher is called as a base, student is called as the top, by rubbing together, mathana. Mathana, discussing, the fire of knowledge comes out. Fire of knowledge comes out. I gave the example also in that for getting the sandal. This is the base, is called a teacher. Student is this sandal. By rubbing this one continuously, what comes out through the fire of knowledge, the cream comes out, it enriches both student and the taught. That is the purpose of this session. Now, I will open the forum for our Prashant Bhai to moderate.
Thank you, sir. So in the spirit of today's Q&A for kids, I'm also supporting Mickey Mouse, who is also incidentally asking a question. So let's open it now. I would change the format a bit. I'll go to the eldermost one. I believe we have Annapurna ji. Your kids, can we start with your kids, please?
So Advika is just 5 minutes away. She has a question. Can I ask my question or should I wait for her to?
Okay, you start off. Please go ahead with your question.
So Yes, so my question is just the focus, Guruji. I just wanted to know how I can improve my focus to continuously think of Bhagavan, because a lot of times I keep wavering out and completely slips my mind. So it does not, and then I come back to it only when I'm probably when I'm calm or when I realize, it will realize that I'm not again thinking, even when I have to do certain work, it's all, I still take the responsibility and I forget that I'll have to offer it. So how can I improve that?
That is why to think of it what is called as japa. Japa is given tad japa tad artha bhavanam. If you can think of our death won't wait for anyone, anytime it can pounce on us. And so you should have clarity what is most important. In Bhagavad Gita talks about tasma sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmara yudhyacha. Always think of me, because we don't know what is round the corner. We all are thinking everyone is living up to 100 years and it's not for me. If somebody is dying, it is not for me. But with what is happening in the Middle East and so volatile, our life also is so volatile, and body is very volatile, delicate. Any time it can collapse. And if you know that constant reminder, japa, it makes to bring focus. Yes, work is a challenge and a lot of demand. Demand is there. At times you digress, but when you keep on doing the japa continuously, it translates into ajapa japa. Without effort, the mantra is happening. For that, every day you have to practice. Every day when you practice, for a length of time, when you do, for a period of time, it becomes spontaneous. A default setting of the mind is changed. That is called as japa, with developing the interest. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Let's start with Aryan. Yes.
So, Guruji, why do we need to do Sutra Neti?
Sutra Neti, it is one of the Hatha Yoga Kriyas for cleansing the sinus. People with deeper sinus growth in the nostrils, they find that one beneficial. And Jal Neti, some people with the Jal Neti, sinus may get aggravated if they do not do proper Kapalabhati. To overcome that one, Sutra Neti is a dry process. Jal Neti is a wet process. This is a dry process. For some people, Jal Neti doesn't suit. This is a dry technique for overcoming the sinus problem. Thank you, Arjun.
Thank you, Arjun. Next is, you'll have to post a video with Sutra Neti or Jal Neti on YouTube. I can expect that, yeah? Okay. I'll go to Ashwini Rao ji. Ashwini ji, your kids have any questions? I welcome any questions from them.
Prashant, can you can continue with the next person?
Good. I'll go to Athar.
So about the gunas, like which section do they come in? Like, are they part of the manas or are they part of the buddhi?
It is gunas, modes of the mind. Mind, nature of the mind itself is unsettled. Always keep on changing. It is because of the guna. I don't feel like, I say, to get up early. I feel like going to sleep. I feel like doing work. That feel, it is it's a mind component.
Thank you, Guruji.
Yeah.
We'll go to Hiranyaji. Hiranya. Kids, you have to really be fast in your response. You have to unmute quickly. I'll go to Teerth. Nishaji.
What happened to Lord Krishna after the Mahabharata war?
After the Mahabharata war, when the Mahabharata war took place, Sri Krishna's age was 72 years. He lived up to 106 years. So another 24 years, 72, 82, 92, around 34 years he lived. He lived in the with the Pandavas a bit and Dwaraka. Okay. Was that your question? Okay. Thank you.
Now, I'll go to Apratim.
From Gulbarga, Gulbarga, hot Gulgarba, Gulbarga.
Sir, Kalburgi is the official name.
Oh, Kalburgi.
Apratim, you are there?
Yeah.
Okay, please.
Is there any scriptural reference that you have to sit on deer skin when you're doing your puja? Isn't it not killing animals?
The scriptural reference is there. Shuchodeshe pratishtapya sthiram asana atmana chaila jina kushotaram ajina chaila jina. The skin, the animal when it is dies naturally, they put the deer skin on the top of it, they put the cloth, chailajina, after that kusha uttaram, some grass and some piece of cloth, it helps in focusing. And people put tiger skin also, tiger skin, now because of the government restriction, earlier it was readily available, now even tiger skin and deer skin, people are not using. Tiger skin, if you sit on the tiger skin, you feel disconnected. You don't feel like getting up from the meditation. You start losing interest in the world. You want to meditate 24 hours. Or deer skin also. That reference is there. Now, we are not going for, we don't know where the in the market, the skin is available, but you don't know how they, whether natural death or they killed it, so avoid that one. Skin has a bearing. Suppose if you find a dog skin and try to sit and meditate, you can't meditate. Or donkey skin. If you try to sit and donkey skin, you can't meditate. Rishis have found out for meditation, sitting on deer skin or Vyagrajina, it has a direct bearing. It's an energy on which you sit. Suppose you sit in a place, it is not very rough place and not a sattvic place, you can't meditate. Some places when you go, naturally, for example, in Badrinath, when we went there, mind becomes focused without any effort. So, there is a link between the place and meditation. To in the place at home, Chailajina, there is Bhagavad Gita talks about. But for now, you can have Darbha mat. Darbha mat is available. We used to import a Darbha mat from India and give it to our students. You can get it online also. Darbha mat is there. you can get it and you can sit on that one. Not to sit directly on the floor, try to put something underneath. Earlier they used to put a wooden plank. If a wooden plank is not there, darba mat. Okay? Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So, you know, Pratim, what you need to do, please ask your mother to order on. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, next to Akshaj.
My question, Guruji, is that what is the difference between material world and non-material world?
Material world is made up of earth, water, fire, air and ether. It is a matter.
Okay.
And that is the what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you feel. All are material. And beyond that one, inside when you feel, meditate, you feel good. If somebody says, Akshaj, I want to, can you share that one? Can you give piece of it? You cannot give that one, but it's a part of your inner experience. That is called as non-material. Material and the material world, material subject to change. Today is so good, tomorrow is not good. It's subject to change, non-material things. Spirituality talks about it's a changeless. What you are doing now as a child, after 50 years, if you contemplate on that one, it's changeless. But now, if you have something you purchased from the market, it's a very premium price. In a few years, it may get out of date. Nobody wants that one. Today is in a fashion, tomorrow it may not be. It keeps on changing, that is material, and what scripture says, you need both. Material and spiritual, you need both, because you are surviving on the material world. When you are surviving in the material world, you need material thing also, that is called as material science. But not to limit yourself only to the material science, beyond that one, spiritual science also is required, and try to learn that one. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Akshaj. Excellent question. So, I'm looking at the list. I'll have to go back to older kids now. Let me start with Kalaji. I'm sure you have one. Otherwise, I'll hop on to the other one.
Did you say my name, Prashantara?
Yes, please go ahead.
No, actually, I was thinking it's only for kids, so I'm not prepared for that one. That's a good one. Nice. Thank you so much.
No problem. Okay. So, next is Tusharji. Do you have any? Yeah, I like the fact that most of the adults are sitting on the fence and observing, which is good. Next, I'll start with
yourself. Maria. You can ask yourself. Start with your question. If anyone has any question, raise your hand so that our Prashant bhai knows. In the meantime, our Prashant will ask the question.
Yeah. So my question is from kids' point of view. If you observe. Kids, when they are engaged in an activity, they are totally focused and they don't, they don't listen to anything else apart from focusing on one specific activity. Do we call that as a meditative state? Because unless and until they are involved in an activity which is related to that particular activity, they don't get disturbed. I've seen that in my little kid when he's playing, he's completely involved there. So, is that similar to meditative state is what I want?
Similar but not. But for example, last year during the international yoga competition, on that day India and Australia match was also there. Our Prashant, though he was in our conference, his mind was on the scoreboard. And we can't say that was a meditation for him. Meditation, so focused, ball by ball. Oh, Kohli out. Oh, that one Rohit out. And every ball, so focused, not concentrating on the, that one, we don't call it as a concentration, a meditation. Archery, recent election, Olympics was there. Archery, they are focusing on the target. They don't see anywhere, but only the bullseye. We don't call that one as a meditation. Meditation is one, what you enter and you come out enriched. What you go in before and after, you come out enriched. And for example, in cricket, I am so focused, if my team did not win, I come out depressed. And the meditation is one, every time you come out refreshed, energized, connected. That is called as meditative. If it is in the same state, it is just a concentration. Concentration is a good starting point for meditation. Okay?
Thank you, sir. Great, great examples.
And
on the same point, I want to Tushar here. How do we improve? I mean, I've been trying, but as you said, it is more resulting into concentration than a meditation. Is it just a length of time, or there is a method to improve your experience while you are concentrating or meditating?
There is two types. One is a Buddhist way of meditation. They start off with what is called as Vipassana, or the original name Vipashya. Vipashya means no imagination, let the thoughts come and let you vacate your mind. Just they ask you to sit in one place for 1 week or 10 days. Just observe your breath, empty, let the mind empty. So many emotions we keep on suppressing. We want to, right from childhood, so many things we want to express, but we did not, we suppressed it. When we sit for meditation, the one by one thoughts keep on coming. They're coming suppressed emotion. Let it come out, let it come out. Once they come out, then it loses the steam. Slowly mind relaxes. For that, you have to give the direction. Direction that is called as a japa. Japa is a direction. You give a, instead of mind going here and there, through a japa, through the concentration, you start off concentrating on visualizing. Visualize your divine Ishta Devata is this way. Visualizing. You think with 2 feet, the cloth, your shoulders, kirita. That is a visualization. Now, whatever visualization is there, again, it is coming from the mind. Mind thinks God is like that. But when you start doing that one, from visualization, something else comes out, which is totally different. That is called as realization. You have to start with, when you are building constructing a house, you have a blueprint. That is, before they started building, they showed you, it looks like this. Are you okay? Are you okay? You have not seen, you are only contemplating on that one, contemplating, and when the house is finished, it looks totally different. What I thought, I had a vague idea, but what I realized is totally different. And that visualization is an important process in meditation, and visualization lead to realization. realization, and when you are contemplating visualization, not to open your mind, not to think God only that way. That is the starting point. Starting point, when it opens up, let it dawn in you. That mind, when it opens up, the realization, how it happens, it is up to him, but start off with the visualization. That is why in our scriptures, they say have an altar. And every day sit in front of the altar. That is for visual, it helps in concentration and visualization. Every day contemplate. But how it gets revealed, it is up to him. That to bring the focus, that is why the children also at home, you need to have an altar, light up a lamp, ask the children to sit in front of the altar and contemplate. Contemplate, and what altar is not God, but it represents what you think is the God. It's a represent. And what it is, you have to realize. Okay?
I can see a few hands up here, so I'll go by the order in which they were raised. Athar?
So the essence of Sanatana Dharma is that we're not the body or the mind. Some people say that the soul is the witness of all the actions we do, but some say that we are the soul as well. Then who are we exactly? Does that mean we are witnessing ourselves?
The Sanatana means the changeless signs. What is subject? Oh, Atharva asked, what is material and non-material? Material is subject to change. Eternal values. What is not changing, that is called a Sanatana. Sanatana, it is an eternal values. Eternal values. For example, in America, they drive on the right side. In Australia, they drive on the left side. The rules changes from place to place, and time to time it changes. But Sanatana is eternal values. For example, it is Matra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava. These are the eternal values. Eternal values. It is not changing with the time. That is what Sanatana Dharma. Okay, Sanatana Dharma means the changeless values, eternal values, compassion, generosity. These are the eternal values. Other things, it keeps on changing. From country to country changes, and my religion says this one, your religion says that one. It is the religion also, many concepts keep on changing over the time. What it was in my parents' time, those things have changed. Some of the underlining things, it is very universal for all humans. Okay, that is called a Sanatana to begin with. And further than that one, soul and all, it is beyond that one. For your understanding, Sanatana means Sada, nada, sada, nada, like sound is primordial sound. Whatever you speak, it is not, you can't destroy the sound. Whatever we are discussing, that one, in the Akashic record, you can tap into that one. For example, the sages say, 5,000 years back, Arjuna and Shri Krishna had a discussion on the battlefield. Bhagavad Gita. So sages, in their meditation, they are able to tap into those messages. Why you meditate? Is a nada is there, that Akashic cassette. Through meditation, you can tap it. Nobody is starting it from zero. It is, everything is there. Up in the Akashic cassette, in meditation, you can tap into those messages, and some people put it as my own creation. It has, I created and I patented. In scripture says, nothing belongs to anyone. Rishis never said, patented their Vedas or Upanishad. They, everything is there, up there, Sanatana. They just tapped it and brought it down. Okay, that's the purpose of meditation.
Yeah. Sir, he had two questions. One was about the Sanatana Dharma that you explained. The other one was a very heavy-handed one, which I keep asking myself. Who are we exactly?
Yeah.
We are body and soul is the witness. Can you also elaborate on
my confusion was that some people say that the soul is witnessing us and some people say that we are the soul.
I will park it to the last next one. I will respond. Other questions, and Nisha also, she raised her hand. What was your question?
One ask? Should I ask or?
What happens to the soul after somebody dies?
Yeah, soul, it's indestructible. It keeps on. Body is like a cloth. I don't like this t-shirt, I throw it and I get another one. From the soul point of view, body is like a cloth and it's not grieving. Only the mind, we think, oh, it is what a tragedy. When I'm getting a new shirt, it is a celebration for me. For the soul, it is an occasion. This body, I can't travel further. This body is useless, so it gets a new body and travels. For the soul, it's a celebration. Every body is an occasion to travel and empty the karma and pick up another set of karma and travel.
Yes, it also partly goes back to Arthur's question, but we'll come.
Nisha? Yeah.
Nisha, we'll go back to Aryan.
No, Nisha had a question.
Nisha or Arthur?
So I'll keep it quick. Guru Galaya, so evolution is the way of life, right? So that's where we are after, we've seen many types of evolution. Current world, I can say technology is one of them, a biggest contributor. Now my question is, do we succumb to it in the sense, do we accept that that is the way going forward, or do we have to sort of put up a fight against what technology can do? It's taking away, say, childhood from a lot of kids. That's one argument. And how do you find a balance?
It's evolution. Yes, what we were playing on the stones by the street. Now kids are not playing, and children are it's becoming. Mature very quickly, they lost their childhood. Childhood, so joy is lost. Technology brings in from the children in the early age, mobile and computer, early age, glasses and no joy. We parents, we should allow our children to go out and play and soil their feet, soil their hands and come home dirty. Let them play, not to give too much of importance for the technology and looking at the screen. And your question of the technology, now it's a technology age. It is, they say in the scriptures, that there was a high technology there in before also. In this, it goes in a cycle and they will start from inventing the wheel. Go back, that upheaval, universal upheaval, everything is destroyed, then start again all over. Nothing, it is a cycle. It is a part of the cycle, and in our life also, not to get sucked into the technology, technology and be an observer. Observer, now in the age of artificial intelligence, I need not have to memorize anything. Everything is there. So, in the technology years, I am getting old very quickly. 30 years, 40 years, I don't have memory. Alzheimer. This part has become redundant. Machines are taking over. But still, from our point of view, pen and paper. Write down and memorize. Not to store, tell your children also. Not to rely on the computer all the time. For example, Shloka is there, Bhagavad Gita, try to memorize. Yes, it is there in the website. Not rely on that one. Memorize that one. Even at the age of 80, you should have a strong memory. Not at the age of 30, you say, I can't memorize. I can't remember anything. Make your children, when we are a child, we used to have tables also. We used to remember tables, 20, 30 table, up to 30, 40. Logarithms, we used to know the numbers, all the complex numbers. Now everything is on a computer. This is, I don't remember any other phone number except mine. Because everything is in the phone. Earlier we used to remember 10, 20, 30 phone numbers. Now we don't remember. So try to ask your children to write down whatever they hear, good things, ask them to write it down, make their own diary, so they can take the advantage of technology, but not to become a slave of the technology for their benefit. I try to memorize now also. I'm 59 years, every day I try to learn one shloka, I try to remember. I don't any of the classes, I don't take a book, and you would have seen many speakers, they take a book along and they refer. For me, I tell my mind, please remember. I trust you. I don't want to rely on a book. I tell my mind, you also can do an experiment on that one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to Ashwini ji, who missed the chance earlier. Please go.
Yeah, this is Ishan. So, what is Upanayana, and why should I get Upanayana done?
Upanayana. Nayana means ordinary eyes. What I see. The things are beyond what you see. It is called as third eye. To open the third eye, Nayana. Nayana means eye, Upa means higher. To open the third eye, that is the ritual, it is given in our scriptures. So in Upanayana, the main thing is Gayatri Mantra is invested. Gayatri Mantra says, Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. May my intellect be illumined so that may my third eye be open. I should be able to see what others can't perceive. I should be able to see, experience the higher things. That is called as Upanayana. For that, the Upanayana main process is Gayatri Mantra is invested in the early age. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ishan, it's when you go to watch a 3D movie, you need 3D glasses, right?
Yeah.
Similar technology, you need to go through that activity to see special things. Next is Aryan.
So, Guruji, who really made Bhagavad Gita?
What is that? Who really made?
Bhagavad Gita.
No, it was composed by Vedavyasa. Okay? Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata. Okay? Yeah.
Let's go to Manoj Akshaj.
Guruji,
when Krishna was born, why did Vasudeva take him away and then got another baby? Why didn't he give the baby to Kamsa, because Krishna could just fly away?
It is a divine leela, and to fool, it shows that however security we can make, all the security, but still God can do and undo. We think we have made millions of dollars kept in the bank, we think we are secure. Unless we have security from God, nothing can help. That is the instance. Kamsa had heavy security. Security means nothing. For God, he can do or undo.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Next is Deepa Mohanji. Deepa ji, you have a question.
That is Advika.
My question was kind of like basically, if our mind is in control of all of our senses, which gives us the idea of the world and like is the only way that we can see the world through and access it, then how do we know if what we're seeing, like what we are surrounding us, is true? And how do we know if we're not like living in some place that's different or something like that?
Can I rephrase? If the mind is everyone sees differently, same object, it is because of the how the mind sees, then how can we trust our mind? That's what you are asking. Yes, mind, so that is called as Sakshi Bhava. So what I see, my colleague, it may be in front of me, that colleague may not see the same way. The truth is the same, and understood differently. The eyes are the same, ears are the same. In a lecture, teacher can say something, but each student understands differently. So mind, the makeup of the mind, how I can see, depends on my guna. If my clarity in there, very sharp attention, very calm, I grasp the things as it is. If my mind is agitated, the same thing, I get the wrong end of the stick. I see totally different. Or if it is tamasic in nature, I totally miss it. I don't understand. So, the how the mind is. Sometimes in the early morning when you hear, it is good. In the evening, mind cannot handle it. It depends on the status of your mind. And beyond that one, that is why manana is said. Manana, shravana. Shravana, what you hear now, not to take it as it is. Manana, you step back, contemplate on that one. You heard as it is. When you don't know what state was your mind, whether sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. Manana means take a step back, contemplate on that one. Contemplate again and again what it means. Now, when you hear first time, you understand differently. When you take a step back, when you start contemplating, that means this message for me. For me, teacher can say something, it may not be relevant to somebody else, you may brush it off. But when you contemplate on that one, that meaning of that word is relevant for me. For that manana, my second step is called as manana. Manana means reflection. And the third one, to make it personalized, what is called as Nididhyasana. Nididhyasana means, now you understood not what heard, you after reflection you understood something. Nididhyasana means you try to apply it in a practical situation. If it works, that is the truth for you. Not only you understood, now I try to apply it in my whatever situation I heard. When I try to apply, if it is, I can apply it successfully, that is called as nididhyasana, that is the truth. Another friend of mine tried to apply, did not work. So, manana, maybe what heard was not right, what manana was not right, or application was not right. The scripture says, don't trust the mind. Mind is very cheating. Not to take it as it is, always contemplate. What does it mean? That is why the one of the qualities of a yogi, not a chatterbox. Not a chatterbox, always contemplates. Contemplates to understand the deeper meaning. Okay, not to be spontaneous and spurt out. You contemplate and you think and talk, not talk and think. Okay, that is the mind, not to trust the mind, and for that manana is required.
Yeah, great question, Amrita. Someone seeking the truth. Next is Apratim. Rita ji, I'll come back to you. Apratim, do you unmute yourself, please? Sorry, can't hear you.
Ritaji, I'll go to you.
Yeah.
I think Atharv also had his hand up. He wants to go to the kids first.
He has had two rounds. Now I'll give a benefit of doubt to you and I'll come back.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
I think my question probably is a continuity of the previous question also. So there's this. With the concept of Ritam and Satyam, where we say Ritam is the absolute truth and Satyam is the truth that can change. What are you able to explain that with some examples, like, or what does it actually mean when we say something is absolute truth versus
the,
something is changing?
The same thing for in the Gurukul system. For the PhD as well as the entrance, the same text is given. Same text. They talk, start with the initial meaning. For example, Badram Karne Vishnuyama Deva. They talk about only from the grammatical point of view or expression point of view. When I produce what teacher said, that means Satya. Teacher says, yes, Satya, what I taught, you told that one. Ritam means that a student, when it goes into the high school and university level, if the student is still telling the same, producing no qualitative addition, so teacher will say, this is not Satya. It may be true when you are a child, entrant. Now, you have to see it from another point of view. Application point of view, you have to talk about. You can't say all the time same thing. That is Satya at that time. As you are evolving, Satya should change. It evolves with the time. It evolves with the time. For example, I am looking at the sun from earth. What I see is Satya. As I move closer to the sun, what I saw from here and what I see when I am going to closer to the sun is totally different. What I saw Himalaya from the base camp and what I saw in the summit, totally different. The Satya, what I saw in the base camp foothill, yes, it was a Satya. But Ritam, when I go to the summit, when I see, that is the absolute. It is the absolute, I have reached the summit. Then I, people who are in the base camp, they are fighting. that is satya, that is satya. But one has reached the summit, knows the truth, and just laughs at others who are fighting at the base camp, saying that that is the satya. Satya, as we move for, move up, and our perspective changes. Changes, and we don't get involved with arguments. People at the foothill, they argue because they lack the stamina to go up, or they don't want to go. One who has gone up, no more arguments. I have experienced. That is Rita. And Satya at the foothill.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I think you mentioned this during our last Sunday session. The example that I noted was Satya is, I am the father of Aprutin, but Lord Krishna is the absolute truth because he mentions that in the 14th chapter that he is the father of the whole world.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Satya and Ritam. And for this life, he is the father. Next life, I don't know who is the father. Okay? It's a changing.
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Okay, sir, the question that he has asked is...
Who is that?
Apratim has sent me the question, can you ever see your past and future? If so, how? Yeah, that's his question. But I am your present, Apratim, as I mentioned earlier.
The past and the future, if past and future are wide open, there is no thrill in life. One becomes very dull. You have to, the past and future, why required, you have to experience, try to learn if everything is open. When I realize who was my companions in last life, then the enmity is there. That person did that one, that I carry forward. So, when the soul is born, one person is born, God puts the veil now not to know about the past. Otherwise, if I know about the past, I will be only delving in the past and try to reach out. Many people, they come out and say, I was your husband last life, I was your grandson last life, and how many life you want to cling on? And Buddha, when he realized, he said he could able to go 300 lives in the past. If he wants to make resolve all 300 life, and this life is wasted. This life is wasted, and the future also. Future also, people go to the astrologer, what happens tomorrow, what happens day after tomorrow, then I forget to live today. The purpose of life, try to live today, live for today. And how can I make if I know that tomorrow, for example, it is like match fixing. Match fixing, I will play only according to what is suited for me. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna told Arjuna, not to worry, you do your job, and he gave a vision of the future, how Kauravas are dying in the 11th chapter. And after that he says, you have to work. Though I told you the future, what will going to happen, but you have to work. You have to do now, not to go after the astrologer, keep on asking what will happen, or dwell in the past, not in the future. Try to live in the present. Then only you can live, not knowing the future. You become lazy, lethargy, and it is not good for soul's growth.
Our goal of life and the lives ahead of us is to attain moksha and unite with the Supreme Lord. And our And our scriptures have also mentioned that there was once a time where everything was part of the single Lord, even Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Then why did we, the soul, get separated with Brahman in the first place?
It's separated. Moksha means freedom and joy. Freedom and joy, not to talk about the big words moksha. Moksha and now the how we are limited existence, everything is a challenge. How to get the freedom in the present life, how to quality of life, how to increase. Now we do not know that we are connected to the God, that is called as ignorance. The earlier the soul, after the pralaya, only God existed. God alone was there, and at the creation, he sent out each creation, the bunch of souls, he asked them to come out and get realized that you are with him. We are in ajnana, we are in tamas, no, ignorance was there and we are not aware that we are part of the God. The sadhana is nothing but realizing through the sadhana, through the challenges thrown at us, we realize nothing goes as per our plan. And according to whose plan things are working. Isha vasya idam sarvam. Yatkincha, everything goes according to his plan. For that, what is stopping me is ego. My ego is not accepting. My ego thinks I am doing. My ego is not allowing to accept. When we are thrown into so many problems, challenges, our ego melts down and at the end we submit. Nothing goes according to my plan. Everything goes when it submits. Submission is called as bhakti yoga. Knowledge comes. Then you realize that it is only the God's will pervades. That realization, for that we have to go through various challenges. Lord puts us like a goldsmith. If he wants to make a good necklace, the goldsmith puts the gold in the fire. He beats it, he twists it, twists and many operations. The idea from the gold point of view, why this trouble? From the goldsmith point of view, he wants to bring out a beautiful necklace. Whenever you are going through the tough time, it is you are in the hands of a goldsmith. He wants to make, bring out best through you. That is his intention. Okay, thank you. And last question.
We are almost there, sir. Okay, just in the nick of time, Manoj has raised his question. And yeah.
How did Veda Vyasa know about the Mahabharata?
He is called as Trikala Darshi. Past, present and future he knew. And what was going to happen? Trikala Darshi, for the benefit of the society, he is Bhagavan himself. Lord is called as Trikala Darshi.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, to summarize, any parents?
I think I can summarize, sir, if you are okay. So, first thing is, to Adhika's point, the truth, to Apratim's point, stay in the present. I mean, yes, you can know future, past, everything, but you have to understand what is the benefit. And I'm looking at the other questions here. Any other parents who would like to...
No point in knowing somebody, one astrologer told me that I was in my past life, I was an in charge of a big monastery. Monastery? No, I don't want to. What is the use of that one? He would have told that one, but no use. Try to leave it in the present moment. Okay? Otherwise, only talking and no action.
Yes. And the other takeaway was japa is important. The little steps are required from a kid's point of view. Upanayana is required. That is one way to, you know, practice japa. Any other parents who would like to share their views? Sumanaji, from your end, do you have any questions?
No comment.
Yeah, about altar and you know, like, yeah, so it's I think most of the sort of older kids, I would say, so we all had the same question about you know, about our sadhana path, you know, continuing on the sadhana path and how to keep motivated on the sadhana path. That's what I got out of it. And sort of your response to that is, yeah, you know, like you mentioned about, yeah, there is no easy path, there is no shortcut. Yeah, we just have to, you know, as you said, alter, meditate every day, do the japa to get to that ajapa state. So, yeah, pretty much practice every day. And, yeah, so, yeah, that was, I guess, what I got out of.
And should we keep this one happening every week, or should we call it off with this two series?
I think I'll, if you're okay, sir, we'll post a post.